Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to New Hope. We're glad that you are with us. Somebody earlier, they go, hey, aren't you the guy on TV? I said, yeah, America's Most Wanted. That's the one. Well, we're glad that you're here at New Hope, especially if this is your first time with us. Welcome. We're in a series called Jesus Pure and Simple. Very good. And Pastor Wayne has authored a book by that title, and it's fantastic. If you didn't get one, talked about it earlier, just stop by outside. And small groups, everybody get in a small group during this series. They'll help your growth go a little bit deeper and build some great relationships. Everybody say amen. Amen. Right on. You guys are on it. This is why you go 9 o'clock, yeah? Because you get to go to Starbucks. You get to wake up. It's awesome. Anybody love Jesus this morning? Shout, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right on. Woo, that's good. Well, we're in the third chapter of the book, Jesus Pure and Simple. And the title of the third chapter that Pastor Wayne wrote is the title, Avoiding the Subculture. And he says, Mike, talk about chapter 3. And I said, shoots, the problem is I don't know what one subculture is. And so I just wondered, anybody know what a subculture is? Everybody yell out, what is it?
What is it?
I'm glad you asked. Because a subculture, I did a little bit of research, a subculture is a group of people within a larger group, and that group of people have shared beliefs, shared style, and sometimes kind of share the same philosophies. Christians, we are a part of a Christian subculture, part of the larger culture, and the Christian subculture includes you and I. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's you.
That's you.
Yeah, you and I are part of the Christian subculture. Now, our Christian subculture, we've got stuff like Christian t-shirts, Christian hats, Christian bumper stickers, Christian Bibles, Christian license plate frames, like the one that says New Hope, even though you like cut people off on H1, you still got the license plate. You got Christian everything, CDs, movies, even Christian hair gel. I know, I use it. It keeps your hair spiky until eternity. But in the Christian subculture, there are Christian all kinds stuff. And in the Christian subculture, what can sometimes happen is that we get so comfortable hanging out with Christians, looking like good Christians, because we got the t-shirt, we got the Christian music going, and we're like, hey, we're Christians, and we hang out with the Christians, and we're Christian, 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 Christian. And we look like great Christians, but the challenging thing is that God's just not interested in what we look like. God's more interested in what we're doing with our Christian walk. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And so the Christian subculture, sometimes what can happen is that we as a member of the Christian subculture, we get a little bit comfortable sometimes in our Christian subculture. Hang out with our Christian friends, listening to the Christian music, doing the Christian thing, coming to church, volunteering, giving a little bit of money, and then going home. The problem with the subculture is we can get so comfortable sometimes in our Christian subculture that what happens is we just start to blend in and we don't make a difference. How many of you want to make a difference with your lives? Shout amen.
Amen.
Yeah. But sometimes what happens is we can get so comfortable in our Christian bubble, our Christian subculture, that we end up just kind of blending in. It's a little bit like riding an elevator. When's the last time you rode an elevator? You ever notice that when you ride an elevator, it's the weirdest thing? Because what happens is that everybody, like, you know, when they get on an elevator, they may be talking story, they're laughing, but the minute they step on the elevator, what happens? Nobody says anything. Right? It's like silent. Everybody just stares at the numbers. And they just watch the numbers, right? It's the weirdest thing. Everybody just blends in with the silence. Well, that can happen with us as Christians as well, can't it? Where sometimes what happens is we just blend in with the other Christians and we don't make the difference in this world that God wants us to make. Because here's the problem with the Christian subculture, is that sometimes we get so comfortable in the Christian subculture that comfort leads to complacency. If you agree with that, nod your heads.
Yes.
Right. We start to get complacent. And how many of you think God's not really interested in our complacency? Say, that's right.
That's
yeah.
Right.
God's looking for us to be difference makers in the world that we live in. And that's why we've got to avoid the subculture, not necessarily just leave it because we're Christians, but to avoid the subculture tendency to get comfortable and to get complacent, because every single one of us can make a difference. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's you. Every single one of us can make a difference. In fact, if you don't believe that this morning, let me give you a little experiment, going back to the elevators, little experiment just to try out, all right? Next time you go use an elevator, try this to see that you can make a difference in other people's lives. Find a really tall building and go to the elevators about a busy time during the day, so maybe about 5 o'clock at night. And then go to the building, it's a busy time, and then everybody's waiting for the elevator. As soon as the elevator doors open, let everybody else go on the elevator, and you wait. Let everybody go on, and then you're the last one. Step on the elevator, but don't turn around. Just stare at everybody with a big smile on your face. And watch, they're just gonna stare at the floor, they'll be like, that guy's weird. you know. They don't know what to do, but they're just like, they're kind of, and if you're really bold, you can shake everybody's hand and say, welcome to this meeting. My name is Pastor Wayne Cordero. But if you really want to have fun, try this out and just see that you can put a smile on people's face. Next time you get to a building with lots of floors, jump in on the 10th floor, let's say, and then get on, push the button for the 10th floor, elevator opens up, let everybody in, you step on, you smile, and you make everybody uncomfortable. You can hand out New Hope name tags if you want to. And then push the buttons for floor 9 and floor 8. And then wait, and then you smile, everybody's uncomfortable. You step off when the doors open to floor 9, and watch, nobody else is going to get up because they're scared of you. And so you'll get off the elevators, and as soon as the elevator doors close, I figure you've got 30 seconds to find the stairwell and make your way to the stairwell and get down to the floor below. Right? And so then you go find the stairwell, get down on the next floor, run, and then get right in front of the elevator doors, and you wait for the elevator doors to open. And then as soon as the elevator doors open, just point inside and yell, I'm back. And just watch. You'll put a smile on people's face, right on? But indeed, every single one of us, God wants us to make a difference in this world. If you agree with that, shout, oh yeah. Every single one of us. And there's somebody here where for some reason you've forgotten that or you don't believe that. The truth is God has created you to make a difference in this world. And that's why we've got to avoid the subculture of Christianity where we just get comfortable and where we just blend into the silence. God wants us to be bold, to answer his call, to be bold, to step out in faith, to be bold to make a difference in this world. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. And the exciting thing about us as Christians is that we don't have to be what Pastor Wayne wrote in chapter 3, and that is called Christian chameleons, where we just blend in. Because we don't want to be camouflaged Christians. Everybody say, no way.
No way.
We want to be the salt and the light in this world. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. There's a time in the New Testament, if you've got your Bible, open with me. And there, Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's a time here where Apostle Paul, the guy that God used to write half the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he's looking around at the Christians of his day, and he's scratching his head, and he's thinking, man, all these Christians, they're like so comfortable, they're so complacent, they're like soft okole Christians, you know, they're not stepping out in faith. And Paul's like, what's the problem? Because Paul, man, he's just a man ready to rock and roll, make a difference in the world. And in 2 Corinthians, we get a picture of what can happen sometimes when a believer looks at the subculture and says, hey, what's happening over there? And Paul, he looks around at the Christians in his day, and he says this, chapter 11, verse 23, 2 Corinthians. Paul says, are they servants of Christ? You know, he's looking at the other believers, and he's like, man, they look so comfortable. They don't look like they're doing anything for God. How many of you want to do something for God? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Paul looks around. He goes, hey, these guys aren't really doing anything for God. And so internal monologue, check it out, in parentheses, internal monologue, Paul thinks, am I out of my mind to talk like this? Because, you know, he's not trying to be prideful, but he's looking at the Christian subculture, and he's like, these guys need to get off their acoles. They're not doing anything. Because God has called us to make a difference. And so Paul, out of just the sense of what God's called him to do, he says this, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Now check this out. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Anybody get the picture that he was in danger?
Yeah!
Yeah, kind of, yeah? Small kind, like just kind of crazy. He's always doing all this stuff. But here's the thing that I catch from Paul is that I think God is calling us to not live safe lives. I don't think that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on the cross so that way you can be a comfortable, safe Christian. Anybody agree with that? Say, that's right.
That's right.
I think Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and mine. Why? Because he wanted you to live a dangerous life for Jesus Christ. Bless you. A dangerous life that in such a way, you got to bless them. How they sneeze, you got to bless them, right? So, but I think God sent his son to the cross. Why? Because he wanted you to live a dangerous life that when you get up in the morning, the devil looks at you and says, man, that one's alive. And that one's ready to rock and roll. Because if we are ready to get outside of our comfort zone, and outside of our Christian subculture, God is ready to help us, partner with us, lead us to make a difference in this world. Would somebody shout, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the question is, where do we start? Like, well, what happens? How do we get to a place where we can live dangerously for God and step outside of our comfort zone? How do we do it? Everybody say, how do we do it?
How do we do it?
I'm glad you asked. You guys are such helpful people this morning. And I want to give you three pure and simple truths that I hope will be a help to you as you pray that God would guide you to avoid the comfort and complacency of the Christian subculture, and that God would compel you and get you courageous to live the dangerous life for God that He wants you to live. Anybody ready to live dangerously? Shout, oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Right on. Well, pure and simple truth number one, write this in your notes, because this, I think, will help to inspire you to not want to stay comfortable. And here's the truth number one. Pure and simple truth is that you have a greater purpose. You have a greater purpose. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got a greater purpose. You got a greater purpose. And that's why you got to not get comfortable in the Christian subculture, is because God's got a greater purpose for your life. A greater purpose to do great things in this world. But that doesn't happen if you stay comfortable in the Christian subculture. God needs you to step outside your comfort zone. Step outside your comfort zone. Step outside your what? Comfort zone. Turn to the person next to you and say, listen up.
Listen up.
Because this is good. Check this out. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says this word of encouragement. And I think it's a compelling reason why we would not want to be stuck in our comfort zone. I think this is why you and I have got to say, let's go and let's live dangerous like Paul. And let's make sure that we don't get complacent, but we get on fire for Him. Jesus said this, I tell you the truth. Now jump in with me. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Interesting. He will do even greater things. Underline that. He will do even greater things. That's interesting. He will do even greater things than these. Jump in with me. Because I am going to the Father. What kind of things does God want to do in your life and mine because we have faith in Him? Greater things. Greater things. And I think that's incredible. What does that mean, that we're going to be greater than Jesus? Well, probably not. Because I don't know too many people who actually walk on water and multiply fish and loaves to feed thousands and actually open the eyes of the blind. But it makes me ask the question, God, what exactly do you mean by us doing greater things? And I'm reminded of the time when Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus and the Lord left us with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that when we partner with the Holy Spirit in our lives because our faith in God, then we have been given a power to do extraordinary things on an extraordinary scale on behalf of the Lord in our day, in this world. Does that make sense? Well, let me say it another way. It means this, is that God wants to do greater things in your lives. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work inside your heart, inside your life. And the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to do incredible things in this world. You believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Extraordinary things. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're extraordinary. You and I are extraordinary because of the power of God in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that you're perfect, right? Nobody perfect here. Turn to the person next to you and say, you ain't perfect.
You ain't perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody's perfect here, right? Nobody perfect. Yeah. And that's why you love coming to New Hope, because we're not a perfect church. Somebody say that's right. Yeah. In fact, don't go find a perfect church, because if you ever find a perfect church, don't go there. You will mess it up. You will mess it up, man. But every single one of us, we're extraordinary because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And the power of the Holy Spirit wants you to do greater things. And that should be compelling enough for you and I to say, man, we got to get outside our comfort zone and not get stuck in the Christian subculture. We got to step out because God wants to do greater things in my life and in your life. Somebody say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The question that I have, though, is, well, where do we start at? With the greater things, God, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. What does that mean, greater things? What your greater purpose will always be rooted in God's great commission. Your greater things will always be rooted in God's great commission. You remember what the great commission is? As a reminder, check it out. I got it there in the notes. Matthew chapter 28. We'll read it nice and loud together, verse 19. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Almost ready. Pretend that UH is winning. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I know you got to imagine that, but pretend UH is winning, right? Right, right. Go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Make what? Disciples. That's right. You're a disciple maker. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a disciple maker.
You are a disciple maker.
You and I are disciple makers. So your greater purpose, check this out, is going to be rooted in the Great Commission as a disciple maker. Well, what does that mean? It means that God wants to change the world through you, one disciple at a time. It means that everything you're doing right now, God wants to tie it and root it into the Great Commission so that way you understand that what you're doing right now, you got a greater purpose. And don't forget that assignment, because the assignment is that we're going to change the world one disciple at a time, and God's got that greater purpose in every single one of our lives. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, but we got to be real clear about something. Well, when I say greater, somebody here is thinking better. And greater does not always mean better. Because somebody here is like, oh yeah, I don't like my job, I want a new job, I want one better job, you know? And it's not about quitting your job, because God may not be calling you to quit your job for a better job. God might actually be calling you to go back to work tomorrow in your current job with a greater understanding of your assignment to make disciples of your coworkers. Would somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. And God may not be calling you to leave your spouse for one better spouse. Somebody say amen. Right? Right? God may not be calling you to leave your spouse for a better spouse. What God may call you to do is to stay in that marriage and stay committed with a greater compassion, a greater love, and a greater effort to bring out the best disciple in the spouse that you're married to right now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I know you know like, but you got to say amen to that one, right? You got to say amen to that one. And for some of us, God isn't calling us to step up and step out into something. Some of us, I'll talk about that in a minute, that may be true. But for many of us, God's saying to stay where you are at right now and keep doing what you're doing right now, but with a greater understanding of the fact that you are a disciple maker and that you are to make disciples out of everybody that you're in contact with doing what you're doing right now. So you're not just parenting your kids, you're making disciples out of your children. You're not just going to Safeway, you are going to a place where you can make disciples out of the vegetable spraying guy, you know? So everything we do is tied to being a disciple and making disciples and changing the world one disciple at a time. Do you get it? Say, got it.
Got it.
Get it?
Good.
And so for some of us, God, it says you have a greater purpose, and it means that you're going to have a greater purpose doing what you're doing right now with a greater understanding that what you're doing right now is going to be tied to changing the world one disciple at a time. Now, for others of us, God actually is calling you to step outside your comfort zone, because he has a plan for your life that is different from the plan that you have right now for your life. How many of you believe that God's plans are greater than your plan? Shout amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And so some of us, we're in our comfort zone in our Christian subculture, and we're just kind of hanging out, and God's like, come on, I got some stuff for you to do, come on. And we're like, oh no, we like our Christian music, we like, you know, our Christian friends, and God's like, come on, I got something for you that's an assignment for your life that I want you to do and only you to do on this earth, and so that way when you die, that gets accomplished. And that's called your potential. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got potential. God has given every one of us a potential, some dream, some purpose. And for some of us, God's going to say, hey, you know what you're going to do? There's a greater purpose in your life, and here's why you got to avoid the subculture and not get comfortable and get complacent. Because I need you to step out and do something you never anticipated doing. That's my story. About 10, 12 years ago, I was very comfortable in my Christian subculture. I was working in the marketplace, executive level position, made a good six-figure income, had a waterfront home in Hawaii Kai, attended church in a small church in Hawaii Kai, gave some money, went to church pretty regularly, unless the sun was up and the surf was up, then, you know, it might change a little bit, but, you know, I was real comfortable. And then God started to remind me and push me that he had a greater purpose for my life. And it started when I was coaching a AYSO girls soccer team. It was a U12 team at Kapi'olani. And we're coaching soccer, and a bunch of the moms attended New Hope, and they kept saying, hey, you got to come check out our church. I'm like, ah, no, I'm good. I got a small church in Hawaii Kai, really happy with it. They're like, nah, you got to come check out our church. It's, you know, it's growing, and this is great Portuguese pasta. And I'm like, oh, what's the name of the church? And they said, it's New Hope. And I said, oh, no, that's okay. I heard about that church. No, it's okay. And they're like, no, you got to come. I said, nah. And they said, you got to come. Why don't you want to come? And I said, well, because I kind of heard that New Hope's a cult. And they're like, really? And I said, yeah, I heard it was a cult. But, and they're like, well, you know, you just got to come check it out. It's not a cult, you know, come. And I'm like, no. And they said, they kept asking and inviting. And so I'm like, okay, I'll make you a deal. If I come to your church one time, will you just shut up? And they're like, all right, it's a deal. So I said, all right. So that next Sunday, I came to the 7 a.m. service right here at the Farrington High School auditorium. And I came about 5 minutes early, and then I was hoping to get out to my church in Hawaii Kai. And so I came early, 5 minutes to 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, and the parking lot was packed with cars. I'm like, what kind of people gets up this early in the morning to go to church? This has got to be a cult. I mean, this is crazy. And so I park like way off on H1, kind of walk over to the front of the building, and in the front on the lawn on the Farrington campus is all the Filipino colored tents. And I'm like, man, it's a circus as well as a cult, man. And I come in the auditorium and the place is packed. I'm like, man, look at all these people. And so I sat like third row from the back, and the worship team was up here, and they all had the exact same colors on, same color pants on, and they were swaying exactly in sync, you know. And I was like, this is a cult, man. Look at this, all the same thing. And so I made my way through worship. We sat down, and then Pastor Wayne came out, and he had a Tommy Bahama shirt, black slacks, tassel shoes, slick hair. And I'm like, there he is, the cult leader right there. Right there. So I'm all, man, I can't wait till this get over so I can go to, you know, my church. And so he started to preach, and I was like, man, it's only 2 minutes into the message. I'm like, oh, this Portuguese guy talks so much already. Can't wait till this to be over. But then it was weird because about 5-7 minutes into the message, it was like he was talking to nobody else except for me. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. It was the weirdest thing, you know? I was like, nobody else was around. It was like he was talking to me. And I was just like, wow, that guy's not only one cult leader, he's one mind reader, you know? I'm like, whoa, you know? So I'm listening to this message, and like, I'm like, yeah, Pastor, yeah, right, yeah. You know, and I mean, it was like, I was so, and he was just talking to me. I was like having a conversation with him. And by the end of the message, I received Wayne Cordero into my heart. I mean, it was just so amazing, you know? I was like, wow. And it was just a few weeks after that that I started to get to know him. I made a decision to come to this church and become a cult member. And so, because then I was like, this ain't one cult. It's just incredible because the Holy Spirit is in the house, you know? And so then I started getting to know Pastor Wayne. We did devotions together at Starbucks because we're both addicts. And so we were talking. And the Lord, through Pastor Wayne, challenged me that he had a greater purpose for my life. That I was very content, very happy with what I was doing, but the Lord, through Pastor Wayne, challenged me to step out of my comfort zone. And so one day, Pastor Wayne says, you know, you should just quit your executive job. You should come work for the church. I was like, that's all right. He's like, no, you should come work for the church. He's like, why don't you want to come work for the church? I said, because you don't make any money working at the church. And he's like, yeah, you don't, but it's serving God. I'm like, well, right on. No, thank you, but that's all right. But within a few months, the Lord had challenged me to step outside my comfort zone. And so I told Pastor Wayne, all right, I'll jump in. And I remember him inviting me to my very first management team meeting. And he said, just show up. You'll be part of my management team. So come to this first meeting. You'll be in my office. And I said, all right. So I show up to my very first meeting on the staff of New Hope. And I'm in puka jeans, t-shirt, earrings, spiky colored hair. And I walk in the room, and there is around this conference table is about 8 other guys that are all his management team. And they're all in Tommy Bahama shirts, black slacks and tassel shoes. And they're all about Pastor Wayne's age, you know, 75, 80 years old. And so I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong meeting. And he's like, no, this is it. This is going to be your team. I'm like, oh, wow, you guys are all old. And that began the journey of stepping out in faith. And about 3 years of working with Pastor Wayne, and what an amazing mentor he's been to me. 3 years into working with New Hope, he said, you know, you should plant a church. And I was like, plant a church? I don't want to plant a church. He's like, yeah, you should plant a church on the leeward side of the island. And I lived in Hawaii Kai. I'm like, leeward side of the island? That's over there. I'm like, that's so far. He's like, no, it's all the growing families. I'm like, that's too far. I live in Hawaii Kai, Pastor Wayne. Leeward's way out there. I never go out that far. That's so far. You got to change oil halfway out that side, man. So far. And the Lord was challenging once again to step out to a greater purpose. So 9 years ago, we planted New Hope Leeward. And today, it's over 4,000 people that attend the church. And that is just, it's incredible. And I have pastors and friends all the time email and say, hey, what's your leadership secrets? You know, how did you learn how to do this? And I say, everything I learned from Pastor Wayne. And they said, wow, that's amazing, but you're so much younger and so much taller. And I said, yeah, and so much more handsome. But it's been incredible. And I share with you that story. Why? Because I am so grateful that I stepped outside my comfort zone. Had I not stepped out of my comfort zone, I would have not experienced the blessing of serving God as a disciple maker in this generation to change the world one disciple at a time. I think God has the same calling on your life. I don't know if you're going to be a pastor, maybe, but you are a minister right where you are at right now. And God's calling somebody, and maybe several of you today, and you feel it. You've been restless, and you've been feeling like your version of Christianity is starting to get a little bit dry, and something in you says there's something more, and I don't know what it is, and I can tell you it's God trying to get your attention to tell you that the Holy Spirit is bubbling inside of you, and He has a greater purpose for your life. And He's waiting for you to step out of your comfort zone and say, God, I'm ready. And God, I'm not going to get stuck in the subculture and just be Christianese to the max. I'm going to step out in faith where the Holy Spirit is going to help me to do even greater things than the things of Jesus. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. So that's why we got to avoid the subculture, because God's ready to do greater things in your life. Will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. To the person next to you and say, greater things.
Greater.
Greater things are in store if you avoid the subculture. Now, number two, here's another reason why I want to encourage you to avoid getting comfortable and complacent in our Christian subculture. The second pure and simple truth is simply this, is that God is huge. God is huge. Everybody say that. God is huge. Now, I think that by itself is a compelling reason why you and I should not get comfortable in the Christian subculture. And we should not get complacent, because God is huge. God is huge and ginormous and amazing and enormous. I remember when my son was 3 years old. He's five now, but when he was 3 years old, he was, you know, about this tall. And if you ask any keiki this question, they'll probably respond similarly. And I remember asking him when he was about that tall, hey, Jeremiah, how big are you? You know, any keiki, they kind of answer the same way. What they do is they throw their hands in the air. You say, how big are you? And they go, I'm this big, Daddy, I'm this big. And you're like, you're not that big. And they're like, yo, I'm this big, because they're saying you to me, you know, their heads, this is this big. And that's not a scientific answer, right? That's not a scientific answer to how big are you, because of course that doesn't work in all contexts. For example, if your wife asks you, hey, how big are my hips? You can't go, this big, honey, this big. That doesn't work out very well. But in a childlike faith kind of way, I want to remind you, how big is your God? And I'm going to ask you the question, how big is your God? And I want you to throw your hands in the air and say this big, okay? How big is your God?
This big.
This big. One more time. How big is your God?
This big.
That's right. Somebody here needs to remember that, because you have forgotten that your God is that big. Somebody here has forgotten to dream that big, because you serve a God that is huge. And somebody here, your fears are crippling you to the bench. And God says, step out of the comfort zone, because God's a ginormous God. And that ginormous God has placed a ginormous dream in your heart. But until you are willing to step out of the subculture, step out of your comfort zone, that dream will never come to fruition. Somebody say, that's right. Your God is huge. In fact, if you've got your Bibles, open up to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. And I love this story in Joshua, because it is an example of, if we have faith in a huge God, God will do huge things in us and for us. Joshua chapter 10. Let me give you the context as you're flipping over there. Joshua chapter 10. There's a time in which there are the Gibeonites. Everybody say Gibeonites. Yeah, the Gibeonites are some friends of Joshua and the Israelites. And the Gibeonites find out one day, one evening, that the Amorites that are opposing them are forming five different armies. They're recruiting five different Amorite armies together, and they're going to, in the morning, come attack Gibeon and destroy the Gibeonites. And so the Gibeonites, they text Joshua, and they're like, Joshua, you got to come help us out, because the Amorites, five military Amorites, are going to come, and they're going to destroy us tomorrow morning. We need your help. So they're texting, and Joshua gets the text. He's like, we'll do it. And so Joshua grabs the strongest of the military guys, assembles the Israelite military, and says, let's do it. Let's go there in the middle of the night. Let's start going there now, so that way we can surprise attack first thing tomorrow morning. And so Joshua and the army start heading over to Gibeon. And as the sun rises in the morning, they do a surprise attack on the Amorites as they're about to attack Gibeon. And as they break the enemy lines, Joshua and the Israelite army, they're getting to be very victorious. I mean, they're destroying the Amorite army. They're surprising everybody. And it's going good. This is five military armies, so this is a big job. And all day long, the Israelite army, they're attacking and they're doing well. But then as the day proceeds, the sun starts setting in the horizon and the moon starts coming up. And Joshua recognizes a problem. And the problem is that they haven't finished yet. There are still Amorites out there that have not been destroyed. And until every Amorite's destroyed, they're not going to be victorious in this battle. And if the sun sets and the darkness comes, then the Amorites will be able to escape into the valley. And as a result, they will not be victorious. And so Joshua assesses the situation, and he remembers that he serves a huge God. Which, one more time, how big is your God?
This big.
Right. Joshua remembers that. And so he says the most audacious prayer that I think is in the scriptures. Because he remembers how big his God is. And check this out. It's Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. He prays this. We're going to pray it nice, and we're going to say it nice and loud together. Are you ready?
Ready.
Pretend you had Starbucks. Are you ready?
Ready.
Go. Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. Now pause there for a second. So Joshua just prays out to God, God, you're huge. So can you stop the moon from setting and stop the moon from coming up and stop the sun from setting? So that way we have a little bit more daylight, so that way we can attack the rest of the Amorites. Because if I can attack the rest of them, then we're gonna be victorious, and then, you know, then we're good to go. And so Joshua prays this crazy prayer. Everybody say crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, that's a crazy prayer. But then check out what our huge God does. Next sentence. So the sun stood still. The sun what?
Stood still.
Underline that. That's crazy. The sun stood still. Have you seen such a thing? That is crazy. But Joshua prays it because he knows his God is huge enough to do the impossible. How many of you know your God is big enough to do the impossible? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So the sun stood still and the moon
stopped.
Underline that. There it is. Joshua remembers how big his God is. And he prays this audacious prayer, and the sun stops, the moon stops, and never since and never before, the scripture says, has that ever happened. And I share that because Joshua is an inspiration to us in the 21st century. That is the same God we serve today. Amen?
Amen?
It's the same God we serve today. He's a huge God. And God has placed dreams inside some of our hearts. And the fact is that some of us, we're not stepping out in faith. And some of us, we're not stepping out in faith because we forgot how big our God is. Our God is able to give you whatever you need in order to accomplish whatever he's calling you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And there's some of you here that you know that God's calling you out of your comfort zone. And that God is trying to remind you that, you know what, I got you. I'm a big God, but you've got to decide if you believe in that. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got to decide.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to make that decision. Because here's the third pure and simple truth. Write this in your notes. The third pure and simple truth is simply this, is that your decision will determine your destiny. Your decision will determine your destiny. You will determine your destiny. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's your fault. Yeah, it's all up to you, man, when it comes down to it. Because here's the thing. You can know that God has a greater purpose for your life. You can know that. Because how many of you know that now? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And you can know that your God is huge. How big is your God? This big. Right. And you can know that. But in the end, you've got to make a determination in your heart based on your faith as to what you truly believe. Because here's the thing. Your faith is going to determine what God's going to do in your life. And your faith is not defined by who God is. Write that in your notes. Your faith is not determined by who God is, because God is huge. God is ginormous. God is incredible. God is all-knowing. God's omnipotent. God is all-present. I mean, God is everything. Somebody say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that is God. So if your faith was determined by who God is, then I mean, we would all be walking on water. No need cause, yeah? We'd just be floating around, because that's if we were basing our faith on God. But your faith isn't based on who God is. Your faith is based on who you believe God is. Your faith is based on who you believe God is. Jesus said it this way. Check it out. Jesus simply said, according to your faith, according to your what?
Faith.
Will it be done to you? According to your faith. Whose faith? My faith, right? It's according to my faith will it be done to me. So if I have a little bit of faith, then God's just going to do a little bit of stuff. If I've got ginormous faith, then God can do ginormous stuff. And that's the challenge that some of us face, is that we're getting so comfortable in our subculture and in our comfort zone that we have forgotten that God's saying, come on, muster up enough faith that you can step out in faith, because I'm a big God and I want to do extraordinary things on an extraordinary scale in your life and mine. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. But where do we start? Well, you've got to make a determination. How big is your faith? What kind of faith do you have? Because God wants to do great things through your life. Would you say amen?
Amen.
And it starts with you simply trusting and reaching out to letting Him lead the way into your destiny, into what God wants for your life. Just a week earlier, our family was in Kauai, and we were in Kauai, and we were playing out on the beach, and the ocean waves were coming in, and my son Jeremiah now is 5 years old, and he was kind of waiting on the shores, and the water was coming in, so he was going out a little bit farther, and the water was coming in, and I was getting concerned that, you know, maybe one of those big waves would come and take him all the way out. So I stood behind him, and I said, "Hey, son, I'll hold your hands, and let's just go farther out." He says, "Okay." So he reaches up, and I grab his hands, and we start walking out towards the ocean, and we get to about knee deep, and he's like, "Whoa!" And then the ocean starts coming waist deep, and I'm like, "Let's go deeper." He's like, "Daddy, I'm scared." I'm like, no, come on, let's do it." And so we go out deeper, and now the water's crashing just about his waist, and every once in a while, the big wave will come, right? And then it'll come over towards his chest, and he's like, "Daddy, it's so big." And I said, no, it's going to be good. I'm holding on. And so the next wave comes in, and this is a big one. And he's like, "Daddy!" And just then, I pulled his arms in the air and got him right over the wave and jumped over the wave. And he's like, "Whee!" And he says, "Daddy, do it again." And so we did it again, and "Whee!" And the next time we did it again, and "Whee!" And then one time after we pulled him up, he's like, "Daddy, I'm a wave jumper." And I was like, "Son, you ain't a wave jumper. You're just a hand holder. I'm doing all the work, you know? I'm the one that's pulling you up and down. You're just hanging out." But then it made me think, that's what God the Father wants to do with your life and mine, is that He just needs us with childlike faith to reach up towards heaven and say, "God, I need You to lead me. I need You to remind me how big You are. And that when the challenges come across my life path that's causing me to want to just stay comfortable and complacent, that God, You lift me up over those challenges and You remind me how big You are. Because nothing that comes into my life is bigger than You are." Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
And for somebody here today, God wants to remind you that He's huge. And that if you would just simply reach out to Him, He will take you and He will guide you and He will lead you and He will help you to make a difference in this world, one disciple at a time. There's a greater purpose in your life, but you've got to be willing to step out in faith. And you got to step out in faith in such a way that you're reminded that your God is huge. How big is your God? This big. One more time, how big is your God? This big. Absolutely. Now, I share this message not just because it's a cool thing to say and I don't live it out. I share this message because this is my life story. I truly believe that God is huge. I truly believe that God has a greater purpose for your life. And I want to challenge you to live this, because why? Because I wonder what this world would look like if more Christians were like the Apostle Paul and got out of their comfort zone and lived dangerous. I think it'd be exciting. And I just wonder what this world would be like if more people were like Joshua and believed so much in how big God is that we would pray audacious prayers and watch God do audacious things. Would you say amen to that? And so that's our story. In fact, just to demonstrate that to you, our church, you know, Pastor Wayne helped us plant it 9 years ago. And now we're about 12 months out from our lease expiring on the building that we have in Waipahu. And so we're in a place in our church and in my leadership that we've had to wrestle with, you know, what are we going to do? Because we got to figure out where we're going to go as a church. We're getting big enough now. And so we're thinking, you know, maybe we'll renew the lease or maybe we'll get a little bit bigger facility. And then God reminded me, no, I got a greater plan. I got a greater purpose. You guys ain't done yet. So look for a bigger place. I'm like, "Wow, how big?" He's like, "Huge." I'm like, "Wow, God, how big?" He's like, "Ginormous." I'm like, "Wow, God. All right, we'll go look." And so we started looking around. And I'm just so reminded that if God's people would believe that He is as big as He is, God can do incredible things. And so right now we're in due diligence, but God has brought us to our number one option right now. And the number one option that He has led us to is 200 acres in Waipahu. I mean, it is absolutely outstanding. It blows my mind. I mean, what church needs 200 acres, you know? I mean, we only need like 5 to 10 acres. We don't need 200 acres. But God's like, no, you're gonna reach more disciples. And so I need you to create this bigger place. And so I took Pastor Wayne up there and we prayed over the place. And he's like, "You know what? I think the horses need to go right there." I was like, "Right on." And I was like, "We got to figure out how to pay for this." And we're in due diligence. We're trying to figure out financing right now. And I'm like, "We don't need all the space. We only have, you know, we only need like 5-10 acres. What are we going to do with the other 190 acres? And I thought about it. Well, we can become farmers. The way that we can raise money is we'll just grow pakalolo. Right? We'd be good to go. We'd be set. Just kidding, just in case you're not sure. Yeah, some of you are like, "Hey, I let go of that church already, man. That's..." We only get bread at communion here. What you guys get over there? But I share that. No need applause on that one. I share that because I share that out of my story. That I, my dream for you and my dream for all of the New Hopes and all of the Christians in the world is that we would be so audacious that we would not get comfortable and get complacent. I think that we have a short time on this earth, and God is calling us as believers to let's step out of our comfort zone and let's go for it. Turn to the person next to you and say, let's go for it. Let's step out of our comfort zone and let's see what God's calling us to, a greater purpose in what we're doing today and a greater purpose in maybe stepping out in faith to something out there. And I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And God's stirring your heart for some of you right now. And I want to remind you, your God is huge. How big is your God? This big. How big is your God? This big. Amen. Will you stand with me and let's close in prayer. And as you stand up for just a moment, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I want to give you just a moment of silence and just let you settle that. We talked today about how God has a greater purpose for your life and to get out of your comfort zone. Avoid the subculture. And with eyes closed for just a second, I want to know if that's you this morning. Because there's some people here that you kind of say, you know what, I'm getting a little bit too comfortable in my Christianity. And maybe this morning the Lord wants to remind you that He has a greater purpose for your life, to change this world one disciple at a time. And God loves you so much that He has placed an assignment on your life that He needs you to step out of your comfort. It's your decision, and that'll determine your destiny. But He wants to remind you that He's a huge God, and He will never call you out to something that He will not be standing next to you every step of the way. So with your eyes closed for just a moment, I'm going to ask for a response. You may be a Christian for a long time, maybe a new Christian. I don't know where you're at in your journey with Jesus, but just simply this. Do you get the sense today that God is calling you to step out of your comfort zone and to step in faith towards something that He has called you to as a greater purpose for your life? Eyes are closed. If that's you, will you raise your hand to heaven? I say a special prayer for you. Hands going up all over the place. Anybody else? Eyes are closed. Do not be ashamed. You're just answering to God. You say, God, I recognize your voice. I've been too comfortable. I've been starting to get complacent a little bit, but God, I sense that you have a greater purpose for my life, and I'm ready to roll, God. I'm ready to be like Paul and be dangerous for the kingdom. I'm ready to pray like Joshua, a ginormous prayer to a ginormous God. Father God, anybody else? Raise your hand. Father God, you see these hands in the air right now. And Lord, you know their story. You know where they've come from. You know what they're challenged by. But God, you know the assignment you have for their life, and you know the purpose that you're calling them to. And so God, with their hands reached towards heaven, would you take us like childlike faith, and you'd lift us up over our challenges. You lift us up over our trials, and then you help us to see your purpose for our lives. And that God, we would believe to the core of our being that you are a huge God. And that God, you are going to provide, you are going to lead, you're going to protect, and you are going to guide us every step of the way. So for these whose hands in the air, God, I pray for boldness and courageousness. I pray for you to order their footsteps and to give them all that they need to answer your incredible, great purpose for their lives. Bless these, Lords. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Go ahead and put your hands down for a moment. Keep your eyes closed, would you, for just a second. I get the sense that there are some people here this morning, and maybe you've never made a decision to let Jesus Christ be the leader of your life. But today we talked about a huge God. And it's not just a huge God from the Bible for the people in the Bible, but that is a huge God for you today in the challenges that you are facing in your finances, in your marriage, in your addictions. That's the God that loves you so much that He wants to lift you up from where you're at today to greater days ahead. But it starts first with you making a decision that will determine your destiny. And that's a decision, number one, to say, Jesus, will you lead my life? Will you guide me? Will you be the one that leads me into the extraordinary plans that you have for me? Because so far, I feel like I'm bumping my head against the wall. And if that's you this morning with eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. And to just simply reach out towards heaven and say, God, that's me. And every eye's closed, so do not be ashamed. Just say, God, that's me. I need you, God. Go ahead and lift up your hands right now to heaven. Eyes are closed, but hands in the air. Father God, anybody else? Anybody else say, yeah, that's me. I need God. I need that huge God. I need that ginormous God. I need him to lead me because right now I feel like I'm about to crash into the waves. But God is standing here ready to pick up your hands and lift you over those waves. Go ahead and lift up your hands. Father God, you see these hands in the air right now. And Lord, I praise you for being the huge God that you are, the God that gives us plans and purposes for our lives. And right now for these whose hands are in the air, God, you are leading some of us to make a first-time decision to call you our God, our huge God, with a plan and a purpose for our lives. And so, God, with our hands in the air right now, we're saying, God, thank you for making a way for us to have a purpose in this world and a plan for all of eternity. And God, thank you for taking our sins and forgiving us. Thank you for giving us all that we need to make a difference in this world. And so for these whose hands are in the air, God, I pray that you would meet them right where they are. Help them in the challenges that they're facing, Lord. And right now, in their hearts, will you just whisper into their soul that I love you and I'm here for you and I'm making a way for your life. Go ahead and put your hands down. Everybody keep your eyes closed unless you just raise your hand. Will you look up at me real fast? You have just made the most eternal decision you can ever make in your life. And from this day forward, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Life isn't going to change just like that. But here's what changes. The Holy Spirit is going to walk with you every step of the way. I want to ask you to do two things. Stop by outside, pick up a yes packet. That'll get you started in your walk with Jesus. And then number two, tell a Christian today. Tell somebody you know who loves God the decision you made today. And just watch them celebrate with you, okay? Will you do that? Right on. Go ahead and close your eyes. I'm going to close in one more prayer. I'm going to give you the words. Will you repeat it and then put the heart and the passion behind it? Here we go. Father God, we love you. You are huge. Thank you for forgiving us of our huge sin. We are grateful. We love you. We receive you in our hearts as our Lord and our Savior. Father God, indeed, we receive you in our hearts as our Lord and our Savior. God, thank you for having a plan. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for giving us a purpose. Thank you for being the ginormous God that answers our incredible prayers, but doing extraordinary things through ordinary people like us. God, help us as we go into a brand new week. Protect us, guide us, lead us, and help us to be the people you want us to be, disciple makers that change this world one soul at a time. Lord, we love you so much. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, and everybody shouts together, amen. Amen. Can we welcome those who made a decision for Christ? Woo-hoo!